Go ahead and take a seat. My name is Shelley Zulsdorf, and I'm the pastor of student ministries here at Marin Covenant Church. And it is a joy to be able to be with you this morning and be digging in is our series. We're digging into Ephesians 1, where we're looking at the richness of the gospel. It's our Lenten series. We're going through this whole Ephesians 1 all the way until we get to Easter. And this morning, we're going to be reading Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. But before I get to that passage, I just want to have a little moment to confess something. And I felt, gosh, for us to read this passage, I just want to confess something that's really, it's probably one of my brattiest things in my life. And I thought, well, I'll just be honest and I'll confess it with you. So growing up in a pilot family, my dad was an airline pilot. I spent 24 years of my life flying for free. Now, some of you are like, oh, like, dang it. And it's a really, and this is why it's a bratty thing for me, because I did not realize the cost of me flying for free. I took full advantage of it, and actually, I took it for granted. Like, for a while, it was standby, so I always carried my suitcase around, and if I got on a flight, if there was an open seat, I got to go on that flight, and then my dad worked really hard, and he eventually moved up in the company to where I no longer had to do standby to fly for free. I could just show up. And I just book a ticket, look like any other paying passenger, and just show up. And it was awesome. But this became so familiar, and it became easy for me that I really started taking it for granted. And and this is my bratty thing, I totally started going, I'm gonna be late for that flight. Like, I booked a ticket, I'm gonna be late for that flight. I'm not going. I'd show up super late. I'd be at total peace. I'd be like, if I make it, I make it. There were so many times I'd just rebook last minute. I just wouldn't show up for flights. And I didn't realize the cost of me doing that. I didn't realize. And it wasn't until I started paying for flights at 25 that I went, oh, this is expensive. Like, you're all going, yeah. This is so expensive, and it was really costly. Like, it cost the company for me to not show up for my flight. That's a seat they could have given to someone else. And it even cost my dad. My dad worked hard for us to have this blessing. But it wasn't until I started paying for it myself that I realized the cost that I was like, oh, this is a big deal. This is a big deal, and this is a blessing. And I didn't have to earn that blessing. There's nothing I had to do. That blessing was just given to me. And I took it for granted because I just didn't realize the depth of the cost and the depth of what it actually meant to have that blessing. Now I do, because now my whole posture has changed when I go to the airport. I'm like, I'm paying for this. So we are showing up minimum 2 hours. Like, I will maybe three. Like, I'm anxious and stressed, and we cannot miss this flight. And it totally changed my posture because I realized just the depth and significance and appreciated how much it actually cost. Well, this morning we're going to dive into Ephesians 1, 7 through 10, where we're going to look at more blessings that God has given us through Jesus, but we're going to look at and sit in a little bit of the cost of that blessing. And we're going to really look at the cross. We're going to read through the verses slowly, and we're going to stop and pause because I want us to just soak in and sit for a moment the cost of what Jesus did for us to have the blessings that we do. The blessings that, because I don't want us to brush by or take it for granted. I actually want us to appreciate it. So let's start. We're in Ephesians 1. If you want to open your Bible, you can. We're going to start Ephesians 1, verse 7. It says here, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And I'm just going to stop there. That's not even the whole verse of verse 7. But in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So right away, the first thing that we see in this verse is that forgiveness and redemption is costly. And I really do think it is so easy for us to take for granted what Jesus did on the cross. We have this initial moment where we're like, wow, Jesus died for me. That's amazing. But then we go, and now I know that, and I want to get on to, like, the sweet things. Like, I want to get on to what feels like the more mature things. I want to learn deeper about Sabbath. I want to learn more things that give me life, fill my cup. And sometimes we can even turn Christianity into therapy. Like, how do I fill myself up? But in all, in these things, these are blessings that we get. Sabbath is a blessing that we get. But we have to know where all that goodness, all that new life that we have is coming from. And we have to start it with looking at the cross and holding deeply onto what happened on the cross. And over these last couple weeks, months actually, the Lord has really been pressing on my heart to keep what Jesus did on the cross at the forefront of my mind every day. To keep the image of the cross on my mind every single day, because it's the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, his blood poured out, that changes everything about my relationship with him, that changes everything about me. And when we remember how costly it was for Jesus to do this, then we have a deeper appreciation every day for what God has done and what he's doing in our lives. Well, growing up in the Catholic Church, I grew up where you walked in, and one of the things that you always saw was the crucifix. And the crucifix is not just the cross without Jesus on it, but it's actually Jesus dying on the cross. And this image would be up there, and honestly, growing up, I was like, this is morbid. Like, why would I want to go to church? Like, I walk in, and there's a dead person on a cross. And really, I wish that they had any other image of Jesus up there. Like, I wanted the Christmas Jesus to be at the front of the church. Like, oh, sweet baby Jesus, sleep in heavenly peace. Like, that's the Jesus that I'm like, oh, I love that Jesus. Or even the image of Jesus walking on water and the power that you see as Jesus is calming storms, is able to have power over creation. Like, this powerful image of God, or even what we celebrate on Easter, where Jesus has risen, he has conquered death, he came, walked out of the tomb. Like any of those Jesus pictures, I would have loved to have been at the front of the church. But this one is instead what was at the front, and it was graphic, and it just was like heavy. And because when you look at this, you can't help but see the weight of the pain and the suffering. You see his face is just brokenhearted. You see the nails driven through his hands. When you see the whole thing, you see the nails driven through his feet. And it can come across and be a little bit like, oh, that's just too much. But when I realized, like in my life, I realized, gosh, the sin in my life is causing brokenness and pain. It's severing my relationships. It's causing pain in this world. When I realized that, I looked at the cross way differently. I looked at the cross and I looked and I said, gosh, this is love, because Jesus did all this for me, a sinner. He died on the cross for me. The nails driven in for a sinner like me, like us. And I looked at it totally differently. I was overwhelmed by this type of love. I was overwhelmed by the sacrifice his blood poured out that he was willing to do in order to rescue me, in order for me to be redeemed and forgiven so that I could have a new life in Jesus. And here's the deal, like sin has infiltrated our world. We read that at the beginning of Genesis, that sin has entered our world and we are enslaved to sin. Like we are in bondage to sin. And the word redemption comes from an old slavery language of understanding that someone is in bondage, is enslaved, and the only way to free them is to redeem them, which means that you are paying, someone is paying the price to set you free from the bondage. And that's when we think if sin is in our world and we are enslaved by sin, we are in bondage to sin, then we need someone to free us. We need that freedom. And Jesus paid the price for us. He paid the price, and that price was his life. His blood poured out because he didn't want us to live in bondage. He wanted us to be free from sin. And by dying on the cross, Jesus gave us forgiveness for our sins and released us from the bondage of sin. We are now free from that. We no longer have to live in that ways. And our freedom was worth it to Jesus. The cost of freedom was worth it. Him dying on the cross, that was worth it to him to free us from sin. And I remember what Jesus did for us. Gosh, when I sit and I have this image at the forefront of my mind, I don't want to take that for granted. I want to remember that because that is so vital to our faith with Jesus. That is how we are able to live freely. That's how we are able to live in new ways and all the ways God created us to be, is because he died. He paid the price. His blood poured out for us. And we shouldn't feel shameful or bad that he did that. No, we need to recognize that, because here's what it says in the next passage. He said, I'm going to just start from the beginning. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. It's according, he died on the cross according with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And I love the language here that describes God's grace. It's so extravagant. It's such extravagant language, because grace means God's unmerited favor. Nothing you can do can earn God's favor. Nothing we can do on our own. It's unmerited. And in here it says, and I love this, that God is rich. He is rich in his favor. He has so much favor to give. And he doesn't just hold that all and go, figure it out. Like, he doesn't just keep it to himself, but he actually pours that out. And in this language I love, it says he lavishes it on us. And lavish is a really, I think, beautiful verb that means to bestow something in generous, extravagant quantities upon. So God is not stingy with his grace. He's not holding it back from us, waiting for us to do this, that, and other things. No, he is wanting to pour it out on us. He's wanting us to see what he has done. And how do we know he's not stingy with his grace? Well, he was willing to sacrifice his one and only son. He went all out. He did the biggest sacrifice for us to know how much he loves us. And why? Because I wrestle with it, like, why? There could have been other ways. It's because we are too valuable to God for us to have our relationship severed with him. We are too valuable for God, for him to watch us live in bondage to sin, to be marked by our past and mistakes and sin. So he went all out. He lavished us with his grace. And I when I think of God's lavishing us with his grace, I think of this ministry called Night to Shine. And this ministry, it's a worldwide ministry, and they host a prom event for people with special needs. And it is beautiful, incredible. If you look it up and watch videos, it is amazing. But what I love about this ministry is they go all out. They go all out to show those who have special needs that they are loved, valuable, and special. So they provide limos, they have red carpet, they bring in all people that are cheering them as they walk down the red carpet, they host a dinner, and they have dancing, and they give everyone at the end a crown, and they let them know that you are a king and a queen. And they go all out because their vision is they just want them to know that they are not lost and forgotten, but they are valuable and loved. And I love that so much, because when you watch these videos, there's just overwhelming joy. There's overwhelming joy as they experience this in the depths of their being. They know that they are loved and valued. And here's the deal. You are valuable, special, and so loved by God. And God went all out for you to know that. He lavished you with his grace. He wasn't satisfied with where we were at. He wasn't satisfied with sin and our bondage to sin. He wasn't satisfied with our broken relationships. And so he stepped in. He stepped into it. He didn't stay back being just behind the scenes going, I hope you figure it out. He said, no, I have so much favor to give you. I love you so much. And so he stepped in, and he didn't hold anything back for us to experience his love. Nothing. The sacrifice of Jesus showed that he has showered us with grace. He has showered us with grace by sending Jesus to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And the Christ on the cross displays this depth of how valuable we are to God. And when we realize this amazing richness of grace we have been given through the cross, we see that there is something bigger happening. And these are what the next couple verses are talking about. And it's connected to us knowing our own forgiveness and redemption found through this cost. I'm going to read the whole thing because I want us to just understand it together. It says, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. When we accept that God lavishly graced us with love and forgiveness for our redemption, it changes our life. In fact, it changes everything. Redemption changes everything for us. We no longer see the world from the same lens, the same perspective, but we see instead that God is at work, that he is doing something new. And it says in this verse that out of his abundance of grace, that he is bringing unity to all things, all broken things. He's bringing redemption and forgiveness. And this was once a hidden mystery, but now it's made known to us. And I think of this revealed mystery kind of like the idea of when you watch a murder mystery show. My favorite is Sherlock Holmes, okay? Sherlock Holmes, I love it so much, but in this, I love these because I love solving puzzles. I love trying to figure out like who done it, and I'm almost always wrong. Like I think I know. And what I love is when you watch Sherlock Holmes, you go through and the first time you watch it, you're like, okay, I'm gonna try to pick up on the clues. Like I'm gonna solve it this time. And then you get to the end and Sherlock just reveals all the things that he found, and then you figure out who done it and you're just shocked. You are blown away. You're like, no way. I had no idea. I did not see that coming. That's kind of like the first time when we realize what Jesus did on the cross. When we realize that he died for us, that he sacrificed his life for us. And then we realize that he's making all things new. And we know the end of the story. He's making all things new in this world, bringing full restoration in the end. We know that. And we're like, what? That's amazing. But what I love about when I watch Sherlock Holmes is actually when I rewatch it. Because when I rewatch it, what happens is I know the end of the story. I know how the story's gonna end. I know who did it. I know how Sherlock revealed the clues. And now I'm watching it with a different eye. I'm watching it looking for the details of what he saw, looking for the details of what is happening. I have a whole new perspective and I'm picking up on all the clues that are happening. This is how we get to live. We get to live as people that are looking around for the ways that God is bringing redemption and unity in our world. We know the end of the story. The end of the story is God is making all things new. He's bringing full restoration and peace into our world. And until that happens, he is redeeming broken things every day. He's bringing unity in broken relationships. He's bringing unity in our world. And as those who know this truth, who know the end of the story, we now get to look in this world with hope going, okay, God is at work. I get to see the ways that he's bringing unity. I get to see the ways that he's bringing redemption. We get to have hope in people seeing God move. We know the end of our story. The mystery is revealed to us. It's not hidden from us what God is doing. We know what he is up to, and it changes everything. And we begin to now look for the ways that God is at work. But even more so, we're not just looking. We're not just looking for the ways that God is at work, but we're actually partaking. If we hold the cross at the forefront of our mind, if we hold what he has done, it's not just something we observe, but it's something that we then live out. And for me, like I told you, I have gotten this renewed appreciation because I've held the cross every day at the forefront, and not just an empty cross, but Jesus and his sacrifice, his blood poured out for us as sinners to redeem us, to forgive us. I hold that at the forefront and it changes so much of how I live. I no longer want to take it for granted, live my life however, but instead I want to behold the cross. I want to be invested to what God's doing. I want to be looking for ways that I can appreciate it deeper. And when we behold the cross in front of us, it means that we are looking at the cost of that, the costly blessing that we have. And we remember first, remember that we have full, unhindered access to God. Like there is nothing that can stop you. When you realize what he's done on the cross, it said he died on the cross and the veil was torn. The veil that was holding Jesus in the temple was holding him in this place that you had to earn your way to get to. No, that was torn so that we could have full access to God. That means in your everyday, you get to talk to him, share with him, listen to him, have him walk alongside you. Full access. And I just want us to sit in this first one, because do we walk around knowing we have that gift? Because that gift came at a cost. Worth it. So worth it to God, because we are so valuable to him. But do we realize that we can talk to him and have full access with him every day? You don't have to wait for Sunday. You get to live it every moment of your life. And that to me is good news, because that means, gosh, God, I want you to teach me more things. I want you to reveal more things in my life that maybe I'm being held bondage to, or maybe I'm holding back on. And one of the things I think is the big one, when we look at the cross, when we look at Jesus hanging on the cross, nails in his hand, we realize how forgiven we are. We realize we are so forgiven. And why would we keep that? Why would we keep that to ourselves? And I get it, like, forgiveness is not easy, but one, when we behold the cross, one of the things we get to do is go, we get to freely and lavishly forgive others. Our forgiveness can be overflowing from us because we didn't deserve what he did. We didn't deserve the blessing that he gave us, but he did it because he saw how valuable we were. He loved us so much. And so for me, when I've been beholding the cross and I've been going, okay, Jesus, I want to remember your sacrifice. I remember what you've done. I know I can, in a deeper way, I have full access to you. But even more deeper and more challenging, I think, is this forgiveness piece. And as I held the cross in front of me, thinking of his sacrifice, I have been drawn to go, I have been forgiven, which means I can forgive. And it's really easy to stay in a place where we get offended by people, we're angry by people, we're bitter by what they've done. And sometimes we say, yeah, I've forgiven them, but there's still a hold in our heart. There's still a hold and a hardship in that relationship. And for me, I have always struggled with being a grudge. I've always struggled. And when I started following Jesus, it started softening and softening. And in these last couple months, when I'm holding the cross in front of me, visually holding, remembering what he has done, I'm like, I can't live this way anymore. I cannot live holding this. And so it feels like every couple of weeks the Lord is going, all right, here's the next person you need to forgive. It's time. Here's the next person I want you to forgive. It's time. And I've had hard conversations. Some of them I couldn't have conversations with, but I had to wrestle with and go, gosh, I have been forgiven. I have been lavished with grace and forgiveness. So can I offer that to others? And there's something freeing when we receive that for ourselves, and then we're able to pour that out to others. That's the unity piece. Forgiveness brings unity. And God is wanting to pour that out over our whole world. And so we get to live that out. We get to live with full access to him. And we get to then pour out forgiveness in all of our relationships. And it's not easy, but it's worth it. Just like for Jesus, it was worth dying on the cross for us. It was worth that relationship. And so how we live our life then gets to be a testimony of gratitude. How we choose to receive this and then live it out gets to be our testimony of gratitude for what Jesus did on the cross. The ultimate cost, the ultimate sacrifice. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to actually sing, we're going to sing the song that we sang right before. And I love this song because it's reminding us to behold. It also has words in there that are just so beautiful with his heart was poured out on the cross. If you're wondering today if you are loved by God, I need you to just look at that image, remember that image, and go, you are deeply loved. And he is wanting you to know that and be in a relationship with him. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you so much for your deep love and value that you place on us. I thank you that you are not stingy with your grace, but you lavish your grace over us, that you took on the ultimate sacrifice, your blood poured out on the cross, and it was costly, but it was worth it. I ask that we would remember that each and every day, that all blessings that we have is because of what you have done, nothing that we do. So may we behold you, your love, and your sacrifice for us, Jesus. We thank you and we rejoice that you died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.